Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's not start where we left off. Let's start with the soundbite that I kept wanting to play yesterday morning, and then I never got to it. Man, we talked with Congressman Denny Rehberg, who joined us here in studio for most of the morning. He ended up sticking with us till about 9:30 in the morning. I think he was having so much fun BSing with everybody, taking your phone calls. A great hour with David Noble in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. I had to go in and save that show audio because it was such a great conversation, and some of the quotes that David Noble had shared talking about truth versus lies was just really good stuff. I was like, man, I gotta save that conversation. Just such a great conversation yesterday. But we got his take on RFK Jr. to serve in President Trump's cabinet as the Secretary for Health and Human Services to make America healthy again. And I kept wanting to play this soundbite. This was from Fox News. This was probably a month or two ago. But Brian Lessard with Reminisce Angus had actually sent this video to me. And I think he was on, RFK Jr. He was on Fox and Friends. And this clip got shared on Instagram, and Fox and Friends was asking him, it must have been right after Donald Trump was serving French fries at the McDonald's. Remember that just epic tour of President Trump when he spent a day working at McDonald's and serving up French fries. So they had asked him, they said, well, you know, RFK, you want to make America healthy again. Man, fast food. What do you think about President Trump out here promoting fast food? And listen to what RFK Jr. had to say, especially if you are a rancher here in Montana.
President Trump was cooking at McDonald's the other day, giving people French fries. And people criticized me, and they said, well, you know, he's out there giving fast food. And I said, I don't have anything against fast food. I'm against food that has seed oils. When I was a kid, McDonald's was made with tallow fat. That was good for you. Your body needs that. It makes you healthy. Why aren't we making with tallow fat again?
There you go. So that was his argument. It's like, hey, why don't we use tallow fat? Beef fat or the fat from other meats. Why don't we use the fat from meats? Because the fat from meats is good for you. Anyway, I just wanted to start there before I forget for another 4 hours to play that clip for you. It's also a reminder of the conversations we've been having with Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet. He's been talking about making America healthy again for years. And not only been talking about it, he's been doing something about it, because he and his diet coaches at Billings Last Diet, you thought that was a good tip from RFK? Wait till you hear the tips that the coaches at Billings Last Diet are going to share with you. If you're somebody who's looking to lose weight or looking to trim down or just not go crazy during the holidays, get a hold of Billings Last Diet. We've got listeners across the state who've lost 50 pounds, 100 pounds plus. In fact, Tim and Savage, he's already lost 50 pounds in under 2 months. Remarkable. The program works. It worked for me. It's working for Tim and Savage. It worked for so many of our great listeners. BillingsLastDiet.com. BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call, 294-6751. All right, lots to talk about back right after this.
Securing America.
The Pentagon is reacting to the use of a new intermediate-range ballistic missile by Russia in its war against Ukraine, and Russian President Vladimir Putin's claim that U.S. defenses couldn't stop the new missile. Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh spoke at a briefing Thursday.
We've seen this type of dangerous, reckless rhetoric before from President Putin.
Earlier this week, Putin said his country's new policy would allow for a nuclear response even to conventional attacks by any country supported by a nuclear power. An obvious message to the U.S. Singh says despite the threat, Americans don't need to worry.
We haven't seen any adjustments that we've observed in their nuclear posture, and we haven't adjusted our nuclear posture in exchange.
Singh adding the U.S. does not seek war with Russia.
You're not seeing, U.S. fighters on the ground.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of clouds today with occasional sun. Temperatures hold fairly steady in the upper 30s. Breezy winds. Tonight, mainly cloudy. Low near 23. Chance of seeing some rain on Saturday. High near 41. Chance of rain, then some snow. Saturday night, low near 23. Sunday, lots of clouds. Chance of seeing some snow early. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
The violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua is now in Montana. We talked about that and much more on Thursday's Montana Talks. What should we talk about on Friday? Well, you tell us. I think we're going to have an open lines Friday. I want to talk more about the American farmer and rancher. If you're one of those people concerned about carbon dioxide emissions, you shouldn't be punishing American agriculture. You should be thanking our farmers and ranchers. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me just look through my Twitter feed here, through X, some of the things that I've shared here. And last 24 hours or so here. Here we go. This is an interesting headline. This is not surprising either. Check out these great patriots here. This is from the dailycaller.com. According to a new poll, more Republican women now own more firearms than Democrat men. Does that surprise you? That Republican women are stronger, more patriotic, more interested in defending themselves and their families than Democrat men. I thought that was kind of an interesting story there. More Republican women now own firearms than Democrat men. I printed that one up. I'll have to see who did the poll and share more on that one. And this one from the Babylon Bee. This is hilarious. The Babylon Bee, the great satirical website, has this headline: man regrets transitioning to woman after seeing the line for the restroom. I tell you what, if you were somebody who was going to go crazy and go the Zoe Zephyr route and try to be a man walking into the men's room or into the women's room, you'd look at that line. In fact, how many of you ladies out there, you don't identify as men? But, man, when there's a big concert or maybe the Cat Grizz football game this Saturday, when you go to use the restroom, you're going to look at the line for the women's room. You're going to look at the line for the men's room. And you're like, you know what? I don't identify as one, but I'm going to head over to that line right now. Excuse me, guys. Kick the stall doors open, close the door, and handle business. Man regrets transitioning to woman after seeing line for restroom. Speaking of men who want to go into the women's bathrooms and men who want to go into the women's locker rooms, are you guys familiar with J.K. Rowling? Of course, J.K. Rowling is this legendary author, legendary writer, and I think she's British, right? Anyway, but she's not a conservative gun-toting woman. I don't know. She may own guns. I don't know if she owns guns or not. But she's not a conservative, right-wing, or even center-right type of writer. J.K. Rowling is, definitely, of the other persuasion when it comes to a lot of political things. But for some reason, this woman thinks that women deserve safe spaces and shouldn't have men in their bathrooms and shouldn't have men in their locker rooms, and has been standing up to this radical transgender agenda. Yesterday, when former Montana Congressman Denny Rehberg was with us and David Noble was in the House, we were talking about how there's now a transgender representative in Congress, a guy from Delaware who dresses up like a woman and was initially going to demand to be allowed into the women's bathroom. Well, the women, like, Nancy Mace, a congresswoman from South Carolina who is a rape survivor, is saying, no, you will not. Women need safe spaces and men should not be going into women's bathrooms. Well, Speaker Johnson, of course, said, no, men are not going to be going into women's rooms. mean, this is what the Democrats are focused on. The Democrats are trying to force men into women's bathrooms. That's unbelievable. And so eventually the newly elected trans lawmaker McBride now says that he will not go into the women's bathroom, that instead he'll, you know, use the private bathrooms or et cetera, you know, the ones that don't say men or women, whatever, right? Like, figure it out. Not that hard. Well, then Zoe Zephyr, the radical Montana Democrat transgender lawmaker from Missoula, came out and said, I just met with members of Congress and I went right into the women's bathroom. It's like, wow, what a jerk. Seriously. You know, these people that want to call you intolerant, these people that want, look at how intolerant they are. They don't care what you women think. They don't care what you moms and dads think about your daughter's safety. They don't care. They are intolerant. They are so intolerant that they will barge their way into that women's bathroom. And that's what Zoe Zephyr did here, who goes by, actually, that's the new name, the birth name of Zoe Zephyr is Zach Rash. So Zach burst into the women's restroom. Fox News had a story here. Transgender women are, quote, every bit as biologically female as cis women. Bisexual trans state lawmaker claims. So that was the Fox News story. J.K. Rowling, about 13 hours ago, shared that Fox News story with the Zoe Zephyr photo here, talking about all you sissies, you cis women. But by the way, if you're an actual woman, if you're a real woman, that's how they refer to you. You're a cis. You're a sissy. You're a cisgender. I know some of you are shaking your head. Cis? What are they even talking about? What a bunch of crazy nonsense. J.K. Rowling said this in response to Zoe Zephyr. If a man is a woman, there is no such thing as a woman. You are desperate to be categorized as female, but by entering the category, you destroy it. You know that, which must suck for you. But not as much as it sucks for the women and girls fighting to retain their rights and spaces. That was from J.K. Rowling. That's already, that tweet there by J.K. Rowling's already gotten about 2.6 million views of that thing. But yeah, Zoe Zephyr remains the chief figurehead for the Montana Democrat Party. Zoe Zephyr is the real leader of the Montana Democrats in the legislature when the legislative session kicks off in January. All right, back after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. J.D. Vance is now vice president-elect, but he remains a senator, and he's also a dad of three. That's why Vance recently returned to Capitol Hill to take his 7-year-old son Ewan and his Cub Scout troop on a tour of the Capitol. Vance soon leaves the Senate for the vice presidency. He'll be back on Capitol Hill from time to time to preside over the Senate and potentially break ties. The question now is who Republican Ohio Senator Mike DeWine will appoint to succeed Vance. The governor will not make an announcement on who will replace the senator until Vance officially resigns and there's a vacancy. They also have no idea when Vance wants to do that. It could wait until the inauguration. But DeWine wants to pick someone who will serve a long time. That person will also need to run in a special election in 2026 for the remainder of Vance's term, and DeWine wants them to run for the full term in 2028. DeWine, of course, is getting lots of phone calls pitching names, but he does not have an official shortlist. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of clouds today with occasional sun. Temperatures hold fairly steady in the upper 30s. Breezy winds. Tonight, mainly cloudy. Low near 23. Chance of seeing some rain on Saturday. High near 41. Chance of rain, then some snow. Saturday night, low near 23. Sunday, lots of clouds. Chance of seeing some snow early. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Yeah, this is funny. I had an opening rant on the show the other day. What is it with this brawl of the wild? It's not some fair trade organic coffee brand. It's the Cat Grizz game. It's a football game. Just call it Cat Grizz. Anyway, our producer Travis responded, what's wrong with Brawl of the Wild? And he had some cool trivia that went along with it. Check that out, MontanaTalks.com. Hey, plus, if you're looking for a hotel in Bozeman, you better act fast and look at prices and more.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, as Bobcats and Grizzlies prepare for the Brawl of the Wild game tomorrow in Bozeman, one Bobcat from Millstone will be playing in his last Cat Grizz game. Our network's Lane Nordland recently caught up with Brody Grebe to learn more about his passion for ranching and innovation.
Russell, that's right. I caught up with Millstone's very own Brody Grebe. The senior defensive end at Montana State University is not only tackling opponents on the field, but he's also tackling agricultural challenges, working on an innovative algae biofuel project that could transform agriculture. I caught up with him recently at MSU as he presented to the Montana Ag Tech Summit.
I grew up on a ranch, so I'm in eastern Montana. What ways can I maybe help improve my ranch? The ways that I can not have to rely on cattle completely in the future. We never know where that's going to be, how the market's going to go. So having an extra source of income or feed or whatever it is I can make with this would be helpful. So my idea was I just wanted to come up with a way to use algae to create biofuel.
Grebe said he has all the ingredients on the family ranch to make it possible.
I got fertilizer and cattle manure. I got well water and I got land and sunlight. Maybe not the best sunlight all year round in Montana, but we got some sunlight. What I wanted to do with that is I wanted to grow algae in these tubes to where I can extract the algae, make biofuel out of it, and then take the remains of the algae and I can feed it back to the cattle. You take the lipids out of the algae and you're left with a high protein source of feed. So you can feed this back to your cows and use it as that. And then also you can tailor these lipids that you extract from it, but you can turn it into biofuel. So you can turn it into gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, whatever it is.
Grebe says he hopes to bring new innovative ideas back to the family ranch in Millstone someday.
I wanted to push myself a little bit, get a mechanical engineering to where I could learn some new things that I might not already know, be able to help expand or do something different, because you never know. It might be a drought season. It might be a bad year in the market. You never know what's going to happen. So having ways that you can combat that is always going to be helpful.
No matter who you were cheering for this weekend, Brody Grebe's proving success goes beyond the football field. Oh, and Russell, I almost forgot. Go Bobcats! I'll send it back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. What a great story. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hello, I'm Clayton Lohr, Vice President of the Montana Grain Growers Association and this year's chair for our annual convention. I want to personally invite you to join us at our 69th annual convention and trade show. We'll fill the Pacific Steel and Recycling Arena December 3rd to the 5th. It will be three full days of motivation, education, and collaboration. Farmers from across the state will gather, share their insights, and talk farm policy. We look forward to seeing you at the Montana Grain Growers Annual Convention.
This is Carson Stevenson inviting you to the annual Stevenson's Diamond Dot Production Sale on Monday, December 2nd. This offering of registered Angus cattle includes 235 yearling bull calves, 120 registered two-year-old bulls, 110 registered females, and 700 commercial females, including bred heifers and young cows. Sale begins at 12 noon at the ranch in Hobson, Montana. We hope to see you there.
Well, a new seed hybrid has the potential to increase wheat yields by 10% and represent one of the first major innovations for the crop in decades. That's because this week, Corteva unveiled a drought-resistant wheat seed that could be revolutionary, it says, in advancing more climate-resilient hybrids for a crop that's been difficult to innovate. Now, Corteva says it plans to bring hybrid hard red winter wheat to North America by 2027. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
See, I knew I was forgetting something with my show prep. I'm organizing my stack of stuff here, finally, as I was listening into the Farm and Ranch report there. By the way, you got to admire Lane Nordlund for the fact that, like, he acts like last year never even happened. He's just, like, moving on. He's like, nope, never happened. Didn't happen. You know, Lane with football games is kind of like the liberal media with the elections from 3 weeks ago. Nope, nothing to see here. We're just going to pretend those elections never happened. Anyway, so I thought, okay, I better go scroll the local liberal media. I already checked some of the national liberal media sources here. Now let's check the local liberal media. Did anybody else do a story about Tren de Aragua? Tren de Aragua. I'm assuming somebody did. Somebody had to, right? I mean, this was big national news. It was on national TV. It was in the New York Post. I mean, I talked about it here on Montana Talks. In fact, I even had a national TV show ask me to be on their show to talk about Tren de Aragua, being on Jesse Kelly. Tren de Aragua, now having being confirmed to have, you know, a presence in Montana. Did anybody else in the Montana media find that story interesting? Or think, hey, maybe we should do a story about this. Did anybody with any of these TV stations do a story? Maybe they did. I'm assuming they did. It's like one of the easiest things out there to say, hey, maybe we should cover this in our rundown today. I did a quick scan of the, let's see, of Color 8's website. I'm looking there. Now, the story was a few days ago, but I don't remember seeing anything. I don't remember seeing anything from it. I went to the KTVQ television website, and they're part of the Montana Television Network. So pretty much whatever stories on their website is going to be the same stories that are or are not on the website in, you know, Bozeman and Butte and Helena, et cetera, too. And so I don't think I'm seeing anything there. So you think about what's been the biggest issues this year. It's been the wide-open southern border. It's been the meth, the fentanyl, the drug crimes in Montana, and all of the havoc that has caused here. But this idea that a violent Venezuelan prison gang that snuck across our southern border into our country and, you know, is involved with human trafficking, sex trafficking. Now, if you were a Democrat city council member and you wanted to do a, you know, some little event about human trafficking, boy, they would have the cameras there. They would give you all sorts of free attention to make it look like you're doing something to combat human trafficking. But you have an actual human trafficking organization now operating in Montana, and apparently the Montana media is like, that doesn't seem like news to us. Doesn't seem like a story. I've been reaching out to various law enforcement folks to see what they know about this, where TDA might be located. Matt Gaetz, if you hadn't heard it already, of course, Matt Gaetz, the Florida congressman, the lightning rod Florida congressman who President Trump had nominated to be attorney general or was going to nominate to be attorney general, has now withdrawn his name from consideration. And Nancy in Roundup, I got an email from Nancy, I think that she sent last night. She said, well, I called it. Yeah, there was a story by Victor Davis Hanson the other day that caught my eye at thedailycaller.com. Let me scroll a little further down my Twitter account here, X account. Oh, yeah, here we go. Victor Davis Hanson. This was a few days ago. This was earlier in the week. Victor Davis Hanson explains why he thinks Matt Gaetz could be Trump's sacrificial lamb pick. In fact, so now that it was like, what, 6 hours after Matt Gaetz announced he was going to withdraw his name, and already President Donald Trump said, hey, here's my AG nominee next. Next up, Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. And so, even Dana Loesch, nationally syndicated radio talk show host Dana Loesch, she comes on the radio after Montana Talks on our Missoula station. But she believes that President Trump was playing 4D chess to get Gaetz out of the way with this nomination. Let's see. We've got one soundbite from just a short soundbite that we snagged from
Dana Lash's radio show, and I watched a little bit of it last night on the First TV because that was the Jesse Kelly same channel that his program was on. But anyway, here's part of what Dana Lash had to say.
So this is how I'm laying it out. I'm just laying it out here. I'm not telling you to take a position on whatever is in the ethics report. I'm just telling you what I see. But I do think it's actual 4D chess on behalf of POTUS, not deep state.
All right, so I always kind of thought, like from day one, I was thinking, okay, and in fact, I think David Noble and I talked about this when Matt Gaetz was first announced as his attorney general nominee. Is like, hey, you know, in a way, you think about it, this is Donald Trump giving the media and his opponents the bright, shiny object. Hey, look over here, look over here, while I get everything else done over here. Gaetz gets put up there. The House Republicans, you know, they wanted to get rid of Gaetz anyway. So Gaetz already, because it was always curious to me, why did Matt Gaetz resign from Congress when he could have waited until he was actually confirmed to the, you know, attorney general job and then resigned his seat, right? So why did he do it? But I think that, you know, like Victor Davis Hanson said, that Gaetz, there was this plan to make him the sacrificial lamb, get everybody to say, oh, you can't have Gaetz, you can't have Gaetz, you can't have Gaetz. Okay. And then boom, and then Trump lines up all of these other solid conservative nominees, and they look more moderate in the face of Gaetz, right? So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see that whole thing play out. Okay, I heard back from the chief of police in Bozeman, Montana, when it comes to Trende Aragua. He says, we have had interactions with folks we believe have suspected ties to TDA.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, as the rest of the world starts waking up here in another hour or two, there's one thing I'm really hoping. Well, we can talk about it one way or another, but I'm hoping that the guy who just sent me this very interesting information in an email last night will join us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. You guys are familiar with the MFPE, right? So the MFPE is the union that now oversees the teachers union. So the MFPE, so you used to have the MEAMFT, which was the teachers union. And now, and then they ended up merging underneath the MFPE, the Public Employees Union here in the state. Very radical, far left organization. And this ties in with the conversation we had with David Noble and Denny Rehberg yesterday on the show here. You know, we were making the point, and we had a couple great callers who helped make this point as well. We were making the point here that, look, the Zoe Zephyrs of the world, they don't care what the election results were on November 5th. They don't care what the election results. They don't care that their party got smacked. And so if you're a Democrat in the Montana legislature or a Democrat wondering why your party lost so bad and still licking your wounds, Zoe Zephyr does not care. Zoe Zephyr is pouring salt in your wounds right now because Zoe Zephyr has a radical agenda, and Zoe Zephyr does not care about being in the majority in the legislature. Zoe Zephyr wants to be the permanent victim. Zoe Zephyr wants attention. Zoe Zephyr just simply wants to get celebrity status from the far left media, and so and to that point, the point I said on the show yesterday is like they don't care if they lost the elections earlier this month. They want to go after your kids. They want to go after and target the next generation. Here's the headline from a new report. Montana taxpayers foot the bill for woke politics at teachers union conference. I had somebody give me a heads up on this a while back, and And I've been waiting for somebody to break this story wide open. It looks like Maxford Nelson has done just that. So I'm hoping he joins us later this morning on the show in the 9 o'clock hour. If not, I'll run through the highlights for you. Some of the crazy nonsense, the anti-Semitic nonsense, the woke LGBTQ stuff. Basically, they, at this conference, were indoctrinating your teachers so that your teachers can indoctrinate your kids in Montana. These people don't care what the election results were earlier this month. They care about what the election results are 10 years from now, 20 years from now. They are trying to force a radical restructuring of our entire culture, of our entire society, and they're trying to indoctrinate your kids in order to do so. So, yeah, that's going to be something we've definitely got to talk about here later today. All right, KC and Bozeman just sent us a message. KC and Bozeman on the Montana Talks app. Aaron, could you tell me what cities Tren de Aragua is supposed to be in? So, again, KC, no, we can't tell you because they won't tell us. The Department of Homeland Security, the Biden DHS, put out a report saying that Tren de Aragua has a presence in 16 different states, including now Montana. I reached out to DHS, got no additional information, got no response even back from the Department of Homeland Security media folks. Now, they're probably a little busy right now. Apparently, apparently Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is having some intense talks right now. He's in the middle of a big negotiation process. I think the DailyWire.com had this report where basically Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who is in large part responsible for this invasion on our southern border, he's trying to make sure that he doesn't get indicted after he leaves office. So apparently he's going to spend the next 2 months trying to figure out how to save his ass once he gets out of office. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, did you guys see what Joe Biden was doing at the White House yesterday? What was he doing with the basketball? They had the NBA team. I think the Celtics were there. Was it the Celtics? It's not that I don't forget. I just didn't pay attention. I really don't care which sports team was at the White House or not. But they give him this basketball, and he starts wandering around with the basketball. He bounces it on the ground. He throws it to somebody in the crowd. It's like, what is this guy doing right now? But back to Tren de Aragua and this question from TC and Bozeman. So I've reached out to a few different law enforcement folks. I reached out to the Billings police. They say, hey, we're not aware of any TDA activity in the Billings area at this time. But, you know, one thing I would say is, hey, that, you know, the Billings police and Sergeant Jeff Stovall joined us on the show. I think it was a while back. You know, they brought a guy on board who had a lot of experience with gang activity down in Southern California. And the Billings police brought this guy on to try to and started listening to him. And he would advise them on how to tackle this gang activity. So I hope that played a role in, you know, maybe curtailing some, you know, some TDA actors from wanting to move into Billings. But anyway, the Bozeman police, of course, have been doing a great job in Gallatin County Sheriff's Office to try to combat all of the criminal illegals that have been dumped in their communities. I got a note from Chief Jim Veltkamp with the Bozeman Police. I said, hey, the DHS says that Tren de Aragua is now in Montana. Is there anything additional that you guys are hearing? Any known ties with TDA and suspects in Bozeman? Because, of course, there's been a lot of, you know, illegal aliens or folks with a questionable immigration status who are showing up in the Gallatin County Jail. We know that because you can look at the Gallatin County Jail roster and see all of the people that are listed on an ICE hold, that are under an immigration hold. One of the latest detainees in the Gallatin County Detention Facility is the guy who was shooting at the cops in Belgrade. He is on an ICE hold, on an immigration hold. But anyway, Chief Veltkamp responded to me because I CC'd him on an email to Captain Dana McNeil, who's has shared some great information with us over the years as well. Anyway, he says, we have had interactions with a few people in Bozeman who have suspected ties to Tren de Aragua. As you can imagine, it is often very difficult to determine an accurate level of their affiliation within the organization. But yeah, but the chief there, though, is confirming that they have had a few people in Bozeman with suspected ties to Tren de Aragua. All right, Jesse Waters last night on Fox News Prime Time, focusing in on the sanctuary cities. He's the one who also had that great segment showing Joe Biden bouncing the basketball around. Like, what are you doing right now? Anyway, but he was focusing in on how the Democrats now in these Democrat-run cities and in these Democrat-run states are pledging to do everything they can to stand in the way of President Trump and Tom Homan's deportation plans.
Meanwhile, Democrat governors and mayors are building a wall, but it's not the kind of wall you think. They're building walls of cops around their cities to keep ICE out.
We're not going to cooperate. We're not going to ask our police force to serve as ICE agents.
Come on,
we're not going to do that. We're going to do everything in our power to protect people in this city. Everything. So in other words, we will do whatever is necessary.
It's unlawful. You can't use the military. You can't do mass deportations. We're not going to do that.
So when the mayor of Denver says you're going to see Tiananmen Square-like resistance, what does that mean? ICE agents are going to show up to Denver and they're going to get into a Mexican standoff with the local sheriff? Liberals are going to stand in front of ICE vans, what, to protect illegal rapists from getting picked up and flown home?
Yeah, by the way, there's a Fox News story out this morning. Massachusetts GOP slams liberal leaders after illegal immigrants accused of child rape were arrested by ICE. The Massachusetts GOP issued scathing remarks toward Democrats, Governor Mara Haley, and then one other. Looks like my printout got cut off here, but that's all right. All right. But anyway, yeah, basically, Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested three illegal aliens in Massachusetts, all three charged with child rape earlier this week. And yet here these guys are, pledging to stand in the way of any deportation plans against these criminal illegal aliens who are committing these additional crimes here in America. All right, let's see if we got the Family Foundation legislative update. We'll play that right after this, but sometimes it comes in a little bit later on in the morning, so we'll check in on that during the break, and if not, we'll keep rolling with your calls and more.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And we better start paying attention to security. After all, Harris and Biden did allow, you know, well over 100 unvetted known terrorists into this country. What do you think they're doing, these people? They're plotting, they're planning, they're scheming an attack to kill all of us. That's why they're here. And they allowed them in, just like they allowed in the murderers that have killed Lake and Riley and dozens of others. And then you have liberal Democrats, one after another, day in and day out, saying that they are going to do everything in their power to help protect the illegal immigrants. What, over the safety and security of the American people? Because that's the choice you're making here.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
When you're hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. This made us wonder, what if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
Escape rooms? Elementary. And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Simple. So, see what the world is like when ZipRecruiter does the hard work of hiring for you. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine told me decades ago, it takes a genius to make it simple, to which I would add, truthful and simple, at least in the realm of the discussion of the adequacy of electricity supply. Few of us have had full exposure to the complexity of how the generation, transportation, and distribution of electricity to every city, home, and business actually works. But that hasn't stopped us from having strong opinions on everything from retiring coal plants to banning Bitcoin miners. To those who do know how the system works and where the choke points are in the flows of power to the places it needs to go, the remedy is simple. Get educated. For most of us, that's not a workable option. It would take the equivalent of a college semester to get a passable understanding of power planning to be fully conversant in its issues. Where is that genius? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Twitter.com/free.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got it. The weekly legislative update from Jeff Laslaffy and the Montana Family Foundation. And by the way, this weekly update, once the session kicks in, will become a daily update. Here you go, Jeff Laslaffy.
As the days grow shorter and the nights grow colder, we begin looking forward to two of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And both give us a chance to thank God for his abundant provision, grace, mercy, and love. For some, Thanksgiving's little more than an excuse for a day off of work, a big meal, and a chance to watch some football. For our family, it's a chance to reflect on God's provision in our daily lives. Sure, we enjoy the cacophony of cousins playing together, the incredible smells that emanate from the kitchen, the taste of recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation, and the sense of belonging to a large family that takes this gift of family seriously. But it's more than that. In the midst of normal Thanksgiving festivities, we make a concerted effort to remember that it's all part of God's blessings. The food, the family, the fellowship, the safety and security we enjoy as Americans, and the freedom to worship Him without fear of persecution. As Christians, we know that every good thing comes from God, and Thanksgiving, properly celebrated, gives us a chance to stop and thank Him for all of these blessings. Christmas is the same way. For us, there's always a healthy tension between the pull of materialistic, profit-driven consumerism that seems to force its way into every nook and cranny of the holiday, and the innate desire of every Christ follower to focus on the coming of Jesus and God's grand redemptive plan. In our home, it's Christmas music and rich traditions handed down from generations past. These traditions are touchstones that remind us where we came from and also of our responsibility to pass them down to the generations that follow. Our families came primarily from Eastern Europe, so the smell of Hungarian Christmas cookies baking in the oven brings back a flood of memories from Christmases gone by. Then there's the ever-present cousin chaos that reminds us that the holiday should be exciting as well as reverent. And speaking of cousin chaos, it reminds me of our first Christmas before Jennifer and I had any kids. Her parents' house was full of energy, and we finally needed a break. We snuck away to our bedroom in the basement just to decompress. Soon, there was a knock on the door, and a voice said, "Are you guys in there?" We thought it was her brother Jeff, and we said, "Yes, we're in here. Jerry's kids are so loud, we just had to get away for a few minutes." The voice then said, "This is Jerry. I agree. Can I join you?" It was embarrassing at the time, but the story gets told every Christmas, and those little kids are now in their mid-30s. These are the types of shared experiences that bind us together as families. They become part of our traditions, and traditions foster a sense of belonging and continuity. As we begin this holiday season, our work days at the Montana Family Foundation are filled with plans for the upcoming legislative session. But it's important to remember why we do what we do. Strong families are critical to the long-term health of our nation, but they're also one of God's greatest gifts, and it's important for us to stop and remember that and to give Him thanks. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laslaffy for that update. I loved the story about Jerry's kids there, too. That was great. Hey, man, it's crazy. It's already going to be Thanksgiving here in just a few days. So, but we're going to be rocking and rolling for you here in the next few days. Got a lot, still a lot of big stories in the news to talk about here. This one, you know, I asked the question. I said, hey, did anybody else in the Montana media think that it was newsworthy to cover Tren de Aragua's presence in Montana? Was that not news? A Wyoming publication, though, the Cowboys State Daily, has this headline: Mexican cartel tied to real-life Breaking Bad meth bust on the Crow Reservation. We can talk about that story and much more. Jeremy Carl, senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, joins us from Bozeman right after this.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. You might think it's impossible for you to grow your portfolio to $1 million, but it is attainable. First, you might want to start off by creating a budget and thinking about where you can slash expenses, like eating out less, not making coffee purchases every day, switching utility or cell phone providers, and buying private label products rather than big brands. You will be surprised how much those things can add up. Investing $10 a day can be enough to eventually lead to a portfolio that grows to at least $1 million in size, especially amid inflation. You could break it down to smaller chunks and aim to save $300 per month or $10 a day, whatever seems more achievable. A good first step is to determine the type of investments you can put that money into. Perhaps consider exchange-traded funds and index funds. A good bet for beginners because they help provide diversification by spreading your dollars across multiple companies. And don't forget to contribute to your workplace 401k. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.